Hallelujah. You are my beloved Son. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 3rd chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor, to gather the wheat into his barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." And with many other words, John exhorted the people and proclaimed the good news to them. But when John rebuked Herod, the tetrarch, because of his marriage to Herodias, his brother's wife, and all the other evil things he had done, Herod added to them all. He locked up John in prison. When all people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And he was praying, even heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son whom I love. With you I am well pleased." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Let us pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the privilege of having been called here by the power of your Spirit to worship you, to confess our sins, and to delight in our baptism, to hear your word, and to study it, and to apply it to our own lives. We thank you, Father, for this privilege. And we ask, Father, that the words spoken today and the words heard would all be to the praise of your glory, for the strengthening of our faith, and for our increased service to others, as Jesus has led us to do. Hear us, O Lord, we pray, in his most holy and precious name. Amen. The text for this morning's consideration is the last few sentences of the gospel for today. If you turn to your bulletin to page 9, or what, if you have the large bulletin, it's going to be a different page. But to the gospel lesson, I'm going to read again the last little paragraph. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too, and he was praying. Heaven was open, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." This is the text for meditation today. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He has redeemed you from all sin by your own baptism. He has made you one with Christ. So along with our Lord Jesus, each and every one of us died, so to speak, in sin. And in baptism, when we placed the water over us, that is a symbol that we were baptized with Christ. And then a pastor will hold us up, and he usually holds us something like this, and he says, "Meet your new brother or sister in Christ." And we know that we have been raised again out of the water to the praise and glory of God along with our Lord Jesus. So we are dead to sin. Scripture is very clear on that. Today is an interesting day because there's a number of things we celebrate. For example, last Monday was Epiphany, the day of Epiphany. We didn't have an Epiphany worship per se. We worshiped the day before. The church I grew up in, we had a worship on Epiphany regardless of when it was. We always had an evening worship service. And it was a joyful occasion. It's a celebration because in Epiphany, that's the day we celebrate the arrival of the Magi at the house where Jesus was being cared for by Mary and Joseph. And it was the day when he was, so to speak, demonstrated or presented, if you will, to the world, to the Gentiles. Because these Magi were from some eastern countries. We don't know where. History says that they are from, one was from Persia, one was from India, and the other was from Arabia. And so, but that's just tradition. No one knows for sure. No one knows if there are just three. There may have been as many as 20. We just don't know. But at that time, Jesus was proclaimed to the Gentile world. And you and I are now beneficiaries of that. We're here today. because God proclaimed Jesus to the Gentile world. And then, of course, the apostles went out to the Gentile world and brought the message to them. And we, in turn, have inherited that message. And we have believed that message. And we praise God for that message. But it's also the beginning of the Epiphany season. For the next few weeks until Ash Wednesday, we'll be in the Epiphany season. We'll be looking at God's word, and we'll be concentrating on Jesus doing good works, Jesus doing miracles, Jesus proclaiming to the people the grace of God has come to them, the disciples joining Jesus as Jesus becomes more and more well known. Epiphany. The word epiphany simply means the manifestation. So it's like the world was opened up and they all came to know Jesus. And of course, along the line, we'll celebrate the time when Jesus is transformed before the disciples, right? And at that time, God says to them, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." And I'm sure we'll talk about that more as the year goes on. But today is also another interesting day. It came to me this morning as Norma and I were preparing to come here. She was listening to one of the Christian radio stations, and one of the preachers said something, and I didn't hear it. So I said to her, what was that? And Norma says, I think he said that this is the celebration of the resurrection of our Lord, or something like that. Today is another celebration of the resurrection of our Lord. Every Sunday is a sacramental Sunday. It is a Sunday when we praise God for the fact that we have been brought together with our Lord Jesus, and in his resurrection, we are assured of our own resurrection. And so we praise God for that because we know that God has redeemed us. Our text for today teaches that very clearly. All of them talk about how God has redeemed us as part of his creation and how it's our, I guess you'd say, responsibility to glorify God. Well, how do we glorify God? Well, we glorify God by worshiping him, by praising him. If you pray at home, maybe you're one who lifts your hands as you pray, or maybe you're one who puts the one finger up to say one in Jesus when you're going to some kind of celebration, or maybe you're one who quietly prays in your mind. And we know God hears all those prayers. He knows what's on each of our minds. That's kind of interesting, kind of scary at the same time, but kind of interesting that we know that our God is with us and we are in Christ Jesus now and forever. In our text in the Bible lesson for today in Isaiah chapter 43, God speaks to his children and he's saying, fear not, because he has redeemed you. And he says, you are precious in my sight. So God's word is so clear. It's so clear that we are precious in his sight. Now, you know, I don't know about you folks, but there are times I don't feel very precious. Ever feel that way? Yeah. I don't feel very precious. Or maybe you feel that. What's happened to God? I don't feel him anymore. I don't sense his presence anymore. Has he forgotten me? No, never. Because God himself says, you are precious in his sight. No matter how other people treat you, no matter what other people say against you, no matter what may happen between you and others whom you care about and whom you love, sometimes we have disagreements, right? And sometimes we insult one another. But still, we remain precious in the sight of God, and that will never end. In our psalm for today, we read about how God has redeemed his children and how we are called to give God honor and praise for all that he does. Wow, how do we do that? Well, Jesus told us how we do that, didn't he? He said, I give you two commandments, right? One is that you love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. And the second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourselves. And we know that word love is not the word that we commonly think of, the word of romantic and flutter feelings in our heart. It is a love that is way above that. It is a love where we are led by God to give up ourselves in the service of others. There's lots of ways we can do that. We can do that through the offering plate. We can do that by volunteering. We can do that by praying. But more significantly, we can do that by being kind and generous to all the people whom we encounter. And so we have been called to give honor and praise to God. In the epistle for Romans today, St. Paul says, shall we go on sinning? And he says kind of like, heck no, we shall not go on sinning. I know there's probably another word we could use. I used that word one time in a sermon in Evansville, Indiana, when I was vicaring. And after the service, the pastor came to me and said, Walt, he said, I don't approve or appreciate you using vulgarity from my pulpit. I said, huh? He said, you said heck. And you and I both know that that's a substitution for. And you all know what we're talking about, right? And so I won't insult you by saying that. But Paul was emphatic. He said, no, we are not to go on sinning. He says, because we are new creations. So let's live new lives to which we have been called. We are not the same old person that we were before. You are forgiven again today of all of your sins. You are a new person. You have a clean slate. Now you have an opportunity to go forth keeping that slate clean to the service and praise of God. Not so that you get into heaven, you're already there, but so that you can give glory to him who has redeemed you. As the called and beloved children of God, you are called to lead your lives in Christ Jesus so that for all eternity, God's words, I am with you, I am well pleased, will never be in doubt with respect to you and all the others who join you in eternity. Again, as we read in Scripture, Paul has some things to say about that, and he says kind of like, who are we and how will we live our lives each day? God again says, you are my children with whom I am well pleased. Because we are in Christ Jesus, he is in us by the power of the Holy Spirit. We've talked about this so many times. We did last Sunday again, that no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So you already know that God has blessed you by his Holy Spirit. And you know that because that Spirit has led you here today, as we say so often. You know that because you came here to confess your sins and to celebrate the absolution which God gives you. You came here today especially to be reminded that you are baptized in Christ Jesus, that in baptism you died into sin and you raised victoriously forever. So we are included by virtue of our redemption with Jesus when God says, you are my son whom I love and with you I am well pleased. Now, God may say that and we may ponder that from time to time and we may be reminded at any moment by anything that may happen around us that, oh wow, I'm a Christian. Now, shouldn't I be acting like a Christian? No. You should be being a Christian. We don't want to have actors. This is not a theater where we come to pretend we're Christians. We don't act like Christians. We are called to live the life of Christians because that's who we are, praising God and serving all around us and sharing the good news about Jesus. But St. Paul says, shall we go on sinning so that grace may abound? He says, by no means. He replies, we all die to sin. How can we live in it any longer? He continues, or don't you know that we all died with Jesus so that we may be raised with him also? Do we not know? Apparently not. Apparently not at times. Or if we do know, perhaps we don't care so much about it. Perhaps we care more about the things of the world than we care about how we praise, serve, and glorify Almighty God. But again, for really, we are all sinners, and yet we all are also the called children of God. You and I prove that God's word is true. You know, people say, how can you believe that stuff? How do you know it's true? Because we're the proof. We're the proof. Because although we are the redeemed, forgiven children of God, we fall into sin day after day after day after day. And yet our Lord Jesus lifts us up from the dread of those sins to the praise of his glory because of what he accomplished for us. Because we all sin, we know that. Scripture is full of those comments. And so we end up kind of like so many other people. We fall victim to the excuses, right? You've all said them and you've all heard them from others. Number one is, oh, well, I'm only human. Yeah, we all know that. We all say that. There was a time when I was having some challenges many, many years ago. I think it was when I was in Vicarage. I don't remember. And I was sharing with a group of people some of the challenges I was having, and one of the elders said, "Oh, Vicar Walt, don't worry about it. You're only human." And I said, "Whoa, maybe I'm not. And we certainly are not. And you certainly are not only human. So wipe that excuse off your mind. Get rid of that excuse, because it's not an excuse. Why flee to the reality of your sin when you can run to the glory of the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and you can celebrate, really celebrate the baptism that you have in Christ Jesus our Lord?" Or some may say, the devil, or maybe someone else made me do it, right? How often have we blamed someone else? Sometimes we blame people who are even closest to us. We don't want to accept blame, right? No, we don't want nobody to tell us that we failed, right? How many times have you tried to tell someone that, hey, what you're doing is not right, and they say, "Who are you to judge me?" That's not judgment, friends. It's not judgment when you call a sin a sin. Judgment takes place when one is condemned. God is the only judge, and he is a true judge. And that's what the scripture means when it says, "Judge not, lest ye be judged." Do not condemn people to hell because of how they're behaving. That's not your job. Our job is, according to God's word, to call sin sin when we see it, and to point out errors to people. That's not casting judgment. That's being realistic, and that's telling the truth. Well, we can go to the one that so often police officers hear when they're pulling somebody over. It goes something like this: "How was I supposed to know that such and such was wrong, or that behavior was sinning? How was I supposed to know that? No one told me that." And of course, we all know that what's the old saying, that ignorance is not beneficial before the law. It can't claim ignorance. And clearly we cannot, because we all know. We all know that God has called us and he's given the power of his Spirit. And by the power of his Spirit, we have the ability, we really have the ability, to live our life to the praise of his glory. And all it takes is an awareness of what's happening around us in the lives of others. Someone we may know may need nothing more than a phone call to say, "Hey, John, I was thinking about you, and I thought I'd give you a call today. How are you doing?" Or you may know someone who's going through some challenge, and you haven't seen him for a while. Just picking up the phone and saying, "Mary, you were on my mind, and I thought I'd give you a call to see how you're doing." Or it might be Ethel, or it might be Evelyn, or it might be Bill, or it might be Harry, or it might be Tom, or it might be Jerry. But there's someone you know who's going through something in life, who a simple phone call might make a world of difference to them. Or a card. We all know how to send cards. Or in this computer age, you can always send something by computer. A friend of mine, a retired pastor who was pastor in Tenasket when I was up in Okanagan, I got a email from him a couple of days ago, and he said, "I'm sorry, Walt, I don't think I told you, my wife passed away in September." And I knew them well. We spent a lot of time together. He was a motorcyclist. I was a motorcyclist. We did a lot of rides together. And he ended up leaving his call in Tenasket and going back to St. Louis, where he became a staff member at the seminary there. And he continued there for many, many years, and now he's retired. But he said, we got it in the mail yesterday, 2 days ago from him, a letter. And it had a picture of his wife and a picture of him, and it had the folder from her memorial service. And it just brought tears. But he did that because he cares about me. He knew that we had a great companionship among us, and he just wanted me to know. And it brought tears, you know, it brings tears. I know I need to send him a card, but the question always is, what do I say to him? Just start writing, Walt. God will give you the words. And I say that to you too. When you know someone's troubled, stop thinking about what I'm going to say to them and simply go up to them and say, "Wow, I know you're going through a tough time. I really care about you, and you've been on my heart and in my prayers. How can I be of help or service to you?" Few words are so easy to say, and yet sometimes we fear doing it. But God has given us the ability, because we know that when we go forth, his Spirit goes with us, and God will give us the power, and he'll give us the words. We don't have to preach. We have to simply be empathetic. We have to let people know that we care, and we can do that simply by asking them questions. In a moment, we will all once again confess our faith in the Apostles' Creed, and we will confess that to one another, and we'll affirm our eternal life, and we'll affirm our trust in God. After that, we'll offer our gifts, and then we'll offer ourselves to God here at his altar. And then we'll come before God, and we'll pray the prayer that our Lord and Savior Jesus himself taught us. And in that prayer, we'll ask God to forgive us as we forgive others. And in that prayer, we'll ask God to give us all that we need for this day and for this life. And that will include the ability to go forth and show Jesus by the things that you do, so that people can see Jesus in your smile, can see Jesus in your touch, can feel Jesus in your hugs, can feel Jesus because they know that someone cares, and that that care comes to them by the Spirit of God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In our closing hymn for today, it's going to serve as an explanation point to our worship today. So when we sing that at the end of the service, we're going to stand, and I invite you to sing it with exuberance, because you are the redeemed, forgiven children of God whom he has called to lift up his name on high. Again, we focus on the redeeming work of our Lord God, who by his only begotten Son, our Savior Jesus, has redeemed us to be his eternal children, whom he loves and whom he delivers from all of our sins and their consequences in this world, so that we may live with him eternally, praising him forever, when he calls us from this world into his eternal city of light, of glory, and of peace. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. And all God's people again say, Amen. We worship our God with our offering.